What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Healthspan Academy. I'm your host, Craig Sherratt. Joining me today is my special guest, Dr. Nick Jackowitz. Nick got started in his academic career with a degree in biomedical science at University of Guelph and graduated there in 2007 and went on to do a PhD at Cornell University in food science and then spent a little time in the wine industry. And then his current position, he ended up with is a company called Sirona, where he's chief scientific officer, specializing in sort of the manufacture and the processing of cannabis. So that's going to be the topic of the day, talking about all the ins and outs of that, where the technology's at, the medical benefits, and some kind of dispelling some of the myths around it. Nick, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Craig. Really appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Cool. Let's start with how you kind of got started in the cannabis industry. It's kind of a unique industry. It seems like it's growing, I think, in a lot of ways. Talk about how all that began.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really happened just by accident, you know, frankly. As you mentioned, my background is in, you know, food science, and it's in, you know, alcoholic beverages. So, you know, did a lot of work with wine and fermentations and really like that research. You know, a few years ago, I was working for a company that was a large beverage alcohol company. And I think like a lot of companies these days are looking at the cannabis space, you know, kind of over the fence and thinking like, what's going on over there? And right. Maybe, you know, with a weary eye thinking maybe it could impact certainly alcohol sales, right?
Right.
If folks are making beer or, you know, wine, maybe they think cannabis could cannibalize that. So that's what happened. So I worked for a big company and they were looking across the fence and looking at Canada, actually. I'm located in the US and they were, you know, seeing Canada's regulations opening up and saying, hey, we have an opportunity to explore the cannabis space. Let's do it in a legal market such as Canada. And then from there, you know, one thing led to another and I was pulled into a team and then ended up working for Canopy, which is the world's largest cannabis company outside of Ottawa, you know, figuring out formulations and how do you make, you know, cannabis work in beverages or edibles or, you know, what's the shelf life, all that kind of fun stuff. So really, really by accident, you know, just coming into it, but, you know, learning kind of on the fly, as it were.
That's cool, man. It's it's growing super quick and it must be a real exciting environment. Yeah. So the research is still a little bit limited, I guess, in sort of human trials. I feel like it's starting to pick up now that it's been more legalized and it's like less of a stigma, I guess, than it used to be. We know it's pretty well documented. You know, it's got anti-inflammatory effects. It's a nice recovery agent. We know that it's helpful in pain, anxiety, depression, nausea, glaucoma, weight loss, IBS, and Crohn's disease. And some of this is documented better than others, but we know there's definite legitimate benefits to it, but there's still this like stigma associated with it. And in interacting with people and kind of having these casual conversations, are you noticing a change or a shift in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously with more widespread legalization in different countries and certainly here in the US with the patchwork that's happening, I think there's a lot of destigmatization.
Right.
You know, the history of cannabis is an interesting one and just that how it was stigmatized in the first place, you know, back, you know, early 1900s, you know, with just different ethnic groups, you know, that were using it more and then, you know, US government kind of looking unfavorably upon them and then it kind of rolling and all of a sudden becoming illegal. So I think nowadays, you know, as people are more open to it and then there's other, you know, options too. I mean, I think smoking, you know, cannabis, you know, and smoking in general has a bit of a stigmatization, but when you can consume it in different ways, I think that really opens it up to a lot more people that aren't comfortable with smoking for sure.
Yeah. True enough. That makes it a little more palatable. I know that CNN posted something recently and they're linking it to cardiovascular disease, and marijuana. I don't know if that was specific to smoking. I don't put a whole lot of weight into articles from CNN. We know that causation is not always causation or I mean, correlation is not always causation. Have you come across any literature? Is there a reason to be concerned with marijuana in the levels that we saw with tobacco?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of those articles out there today. And sometimes like to your point, like there's a lot of headline grabbing, like, you know, trying to kind of get your attention with some of these things.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with certain demographics, typically older demographics, like there is more of a stigmatization than a younger demographic. So certain people gravitate towards thinking that cannabis is bad. And so that kind of grabs that headline grabs them a bit more. And there's industry groups that actively lobby against cannabis still, because either they think it's going to harm their business or they just don't like it for maybe moral reasons.
Right.
That article that you mentioned, I mean, they talk about, you know, increase in cardiovascular disease. But it was kind of like a absolute risk, relative risk, right? So
right.
How likely absolutely are you going to get, you know, cardiovascular disease? And it was marginally higher than the control group that didn't consume cannabis. It's still very, very low in general, but when you look at it from a relative risk point of view, it was, you know, a bit higher because you're talking maybe like 1% and then 1.2% or something to that effect. So
it was
pretty small.
Cool. We know like vaping, there was a huge issue with vaping and tobacco. And I don't know how much research has been on cannabis. Is that like, have you seen anything where we need to be concerned about vaping marijuana?
Yeah, I think in general, I mean, route of exposure through the lungs, like just like smoking, probably, you know, just inherently probably isn't the best way to take in anything, frankly. So I think in general, it just doesn't seem like a great idea to vape or smoke anything for long periods of time.
Yeah.
There was a bit of an issue a couple of years ago, call it a crisis in the vaping space, with different additives that were being added to vapes. These were both cannabis vapes and non-cannabis like nicotine vapes. And it was with folks, you know, that were trying to usually make a quick buck fast, and they were adding additives that weren't safe. And one of them was called vitamin E acetate, and that kind of gained a lot of popularity.
Yeah.
And some folks were having some really bad problems. So since that's been outlawed, that's commonly tested now in a lot of vapes and other products too. But, but yeah, vaping in general, obviously, you know, lots of issues with it overall, but, still a bit of a black box, you know, when it comes to safety, like what is suitable to vape, what's okay, what levels are okay. There's still a lot of questions around that whole space.
Yeah, the whole concept of smoking is kind of odd. Like, how did that even begin? When did someone at some point in human history decide smoking something was a good idea?
It's very odd, obviously. I think, you know, just the route of exposure and getting it into the blood that quickly, I think someone figured that out, whether that be through, you know, rolling up, you know, tobacco, or I've, you know, heard of like people being in tents and just lighting fires, and then all that smoke in the tent, you know, could obviously then come into the lungs. But, you know, with all that blood right in your lungs there, it's a fast way to get things into the body. And so it obviously is effective, but again, long-term probably isn't the best thing for
sure. And it's fascinating how the method of getting in your system can change how it impacts you, just like your feeling and the side effects and everything. It's just because like oral ingesting it is it's a total different vibe, total different conversation than smoking it. It's interesting. And I know that's kind of been your focus recently, was like on developing beverages. And I know there was an issue early on just because you're trying to mix oil and water basically and getting the right compounds to mix. Have you made any major breakthroughs in that recently?
Yeah, like so that's our core business. So at Sirona, like we're a cannabinoid ingredient company, focusing on water soluble, you know, cannabinoids. So as you mentioned, Craig, like cannabinoids are oils by their nature. So obviously, if you're going to put that into a beverage, what's going to happen is going to float to the top, right? It's not going to mix very well. So you need to make it, you know, make it water soluble, and we have technology to do that. So that's what we're all about. And yeah, I mean, we've been working on that for you know, a while now. We have patents filed, and we're looking, you know, across the board at how to make them more efficacious. We've done some clinical studies too to understand like how quickly sort of the bioavailability of our ingredients get in to the body, and how fast they work. So we're doing technology there. And then overall, like making sure our ingredients, you know, look good, taste good, and are compatible. You know, I think cannabis has, you know, a taste to it, and it can be quite bitter. And so we look at ways to incorporate it into common, you know, items to make it taste good, you know, at the end of the day, and make it palatable, and then work. I mean, that was one of our main things we did when we were at Canopy, was infusing beverages, right? Making them, you know, so you didn't have an hour and a half onset until you feel them. That's the classic edibles story, right? It's like I had a brownie, I took an hour and a half until I felt it, and then I'd eaten too much and it was terrible.
Yeah, took a quarter and didn't feel anything, so then I ate three quarters, and then and then I slept for 4 days.
So there's a lot of technology in that, and I think that's an emerging space. Like this cannabis biotech space that we're in right now is really emerging, and there's a lot of the cool things happening in space.
That's awesome, man. So do you see this kind of just like as it picks up steam? You kind of off the top talked about alcohol and like how this might be a threat, and some alcohol businesses are starting to expand in this area. Do you see that starting to come into play, like becoming more like a let's go out for cannabis drinks instead of hitting beers? Like, is that picking up steam, do you feel like?
Yeah, in certain places, certainly in the US, and I think it's coming in Canada too, these things called consumption lounges. So like a bar, but for cannabis, right? So you could maybe session a beverage or an edible or, you know, smoking certainly. And that's becoming more, you're seeing that more and more. And I think even with, like, as I mentioned, kind of generational gaps. So like the younger, you know, younger folks today are more open to it, and and their alcohol consumption, for example, is decreasing versus previous generations, whereas their cannabis consumption is actually quite a bit higher than older generations, you know?
Sure.
So I think you're going to see that trend keep moving. And again, as a technology and the availability and legalization keeps growing, I think it's going to continue. I really do.
Cool. And are they pairing up with the chips companies to kick tip?
Yeah, there's a Frito deal, I think, that's coming soon. Yeah.
It's definitely a big opportunity there for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talking about that, I know you had the chance to meet one of the most notorious cannabis users, maybe next to Snoop Dogg and Seth Rogen. How did that all come about and what was that interaction like with?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, you know, off the bat, like, very pleasant, you know, what a nice guy, you know, in general, just really like the guy you see on TV and on, you know, interview shows is the same guy, you know, in reality, which is really cool. But it was when I was working again, you know, at Canopy, you know, they had a deal with him and we were brought in to like help him make a beverage. So obviously Seth Rogen, classic cannabis user, you know, is used to, you know, smoking and that kind of route of consumption. And so we showed him beverages and talked about the concept and he was into it, but some of the dosing we were talking about was quite low and he was used to consuming even edibles at a higher level. But with the technology that we were developing, it could be very, very potent at low levels. And I think that kind of intrigued him. And then him and his writing partner, whose name is Evan Goldberg, were kind of both involved because they were head of their brand called Houseplant. And we were giving them samples and, you know, and they were trying things. And they loved it. And it really worked out really well. And it just, again, you know, one of the things Seth was saying was like, you know, you go to these parties or, you know, just in general, anybody can relate to this is, you know, sometimes maybe you wish you were using cannabis, but like you can't smoke indoors and smoking has a stigma.
That's
but
true.
Like, you know, everybody there is just holding something in their hand, like a beverage or something. So if you had a beverage that had cannabis, it's perfect because it's socially acceptable. It's part of what we do as humans more often.
Right.
And it's okay to do. So he really liked that aspect of it. So it was cool.
That's awesome.
Really interesting.
So one of the things I've noticed since it's become more regulated is that you kind of touched on this a little bit is the dosage. And it's like, I think like, because it was unregulated, like you'd eat like a crumb of a brownie and just be just demolished for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Now you've got to need an entire chocolate bar to like, cause it's, I forget what it is. It's just a lower percentage of THC. And I assume that's like a regulatory thing. Cause it's like candy just in case a kid gets a hold of it or something like, in a bar setting, is that something is there a workaround with that? Like, could you see people doing like shots of cannabis drinks, like that are more potent or like where is the regulations at this point?
Yeah. So in Canada, as you touch on, like the limit for any sort of unit or any sort of pack is 10 milligrams of THC, you know, per pack.
Right.
And so, that is fairly low. But if you go to say California, you can buy a beverage that has 100, 200 milligrams of THC in it. And it's like a, you know, standard 12 ounce beverage. So it does vary. And I think to your point, like the consumption lounges, you know, likely will have different regulations around them too, of how much one can consume.
Right.
I guess, you know, the other thing I'll mention too is the dosing. So, you know, all doses aren't created equal, I guess I'll say, right? So if you have 10 milligrams of something that's like kind of more like, I'll call it the high tech dose or more bioavailable dose, that's going to be very different than 10 milligrams of just oil, just the cannabis oil. And that's what we're finding. So there's still, you know, a lot of education, I guess I'll say, to, you know, educate consumers on how much to take and the type of product that they're consuming, but there's more work there for sure, but it'll be interesting to see how this all rolls out, you know, certainly on premise, like as you mentioned.
Fair enough. I know I've kind of heard the literature quote unquote split on the scientific merit of kind of indica versus sativa, and that's kind of how they're promoted now. It's more like an indica, it's more like a, you know, to give you that body buzz, where sativa is kind of more that creative buzz. Is that, how relevant is that? Like, can you, when you're making a beverage, how certain can you be that it's going to have one effect more so than the other?
Yeah, I think, you know, the short answer is we don't right. know. I think the holy grail, really, Craig, is about figuring out the combination of the cannabinoids, so like the THC or CBD or the other minor cannabinoids, and then really the terpenes, which are what the taste is,
right,
and some other minor components.
Right.
We know there's combinations of those cannabinoids and terpenes that they come together will drive what we know as the sativa effect, which is people say is generally uplifting,
right,
and then indica effect, which is generally more subdued.
Right.
So, but right now we still don't have great research on that. And I think from a recreational point of view, that's the holy grail. We really want to know, okay, how much THC and then how much like limonene and beta caryophyllene and myrcene do I have to add to get someone to feel energized, or maybe I want them to feel focused, or maybe I want them to feel sleepy, or maybe, you know, these mood states, I think that's where it's really going. So you can use cannabis maybe throughout the day more versus like, you know, alcohol is certainly restricted for most of us to the end of the day.
Right.
Whereas cannabis, I think we could maybe session that and use it in different ways if we really figure that out. And it's getting there. I think that's where it's really going. So to your indica sativa question, generally that's the camps that they're generally put in. And for the most part, it does typically hold, but there's no hard and fast rule when it comes to how you're going to feel if you take one or the other generally.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm sure it depends on the user too, right? Just your state of mind going in, your whole like mindset going into that.
Yeah.
If you just had a rough week and you're already stressed, and like, I think like to me, that's like a mistake. If you're going to any kind of chemical as an anti, like your kind of crutch for your anxiety or whatever, I think you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. That's just kind of my opinion on it.
There's going to be a lot of interpersonal, you know, variability. And then, you know, with folks that consume more versus less, like, certain doses are going to hit harder and that might trigger different things in different individuals. So it's complicated to say the least, I think, for sure.
Fair enough. So based on this experience so far, it is kind of a new kind of exciting field. Where do you see this heading? Do you see it ever being like there is no stigma associated with this, or it's like mainstream, the government's like, okay, sure, go ahead. There's no frowning on, there's no political party that's super anti-cannabis. Like, where do you see the industry maybe in 5-10 years from now?
Yeah, I think in general, definitely expanding across all fronts. You know, I would say we're seeing a ton of, you know, interest in cosmetics, you know, in pets, certainly food and food and beverage, topicals is a big one, right? For folks that have, you know, aches and pains in different spots, and seems to be helpful there. So I think, you know, the amount of companies even we interact with now as our company is growing every day. There's a lot of interest there. So I can see that need to grow. I mean, stigmatization, I think probably in our generation, I don't see it probably going away, you know, completely, you know. Obviously, even today, you know, alcohol certainly has, you know, a lot of stigma surrounded as well. So I think it'll get less, but it'll always be there. And I think it'll always be fairly highly regulated, you know, at least in the near term, I can see. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. I know I've had you actually link me up with some CBD oil when I was recovering from the hospital. It's legit. Like it's, and I still use the topical stuff once in a while if it's like a recovery or a strain or something like that. And it's, even though the research is still pretty green, like anecdotally, I've had good success with it. And, you know, the little bit of research that is out there seems pretty promising. So it is pretty exciting. I think it's a cool industry to be into. And I'm curious to maybe chat down the road and see how this goes.
Absolutely.
Nick, I want to circle back to your own personal habits. This pandemic's been kind of nutty, you might say, for most people. And then managing your own kind of habits around health and fitness are tricky. Let's talk about where your focus has been on your own kind of personal fitness, health habits since the pandemic hit. It could be cardio, it could be strength. You got mobility, you got mental health, you got kids to worry about. Where have your main priorities been around your own personal health, and what have your habits looked like around that?
Yeah, no, like as you mentioned, it's been pretty crazy, but I think, I think the balance is the big part of it. And, you know, without being able to go, you know, to gyms for a while, right, when they were all shut down, that was tough. So, you know, I've always been big on cardio and running. So, you know, doing that outside as much as possible. Like I'm in upstate New York, so winters are a little tough, just like they are in Southern Ontario. But, you know, so bringing that inside, getting a treadmill, just keeping some cardio going all the time, just mentally, really, for the most part. I mean, physically, certainly, but just to keep my mind fresh, that's been key. A little bit of of weights. And then, yeah, like luckily my wife is an amazing cook. So, you know, food is super important. I think eating well and having a diverse, you know, assortment of food, well-cooked, well-balanced meals is really important. So just trying to focus that in, and then work-life balance, I think too, is the other thing that, you know, always creeps around, and I always get pushback from my wife too, about like trying to be careful on that and watch where that creeps in at nights and things like that too, but just watching that as much as possible. So I think things like that.
I feel you too. And I mean, even just being in something new, you literally can't turn it off. Right. It's just like, you can do all this, you can meditate all you want, do all the stretching you want. It's still there.
Yeah. So,
and it's hard not to make that whole all your conversations center around it when you're super passionate about it. And it's like, and it's a growing thing too. Like I totally get it. Awesome, man.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been a fantastic chat. I really appreciate catching up with you, Nick.
No problem. This
is great. And, so we'll have to catch up soon. Maybe do the two-parter once this world's in a better place.
That sounds great, Craig. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. This is great.
For sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in to Healthspan Academy, guys. We'll see you next time.